healthy alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. I'm Dr. Jerry Teplitz. What Healthy Alternatives is about is most of us really want to reach optimum levels of health and well-being. You want to feel better, live longer, and enjoy life even more. And that's what I attempt to bring you on each of the shows. Today, a little bit later, I'm going to be interviewing Dr. Julie Chen. Dr. Chen is an integrative medicine physician. She's board certified in internal medicine and is also a fellowship trained and board certified in integrative medicine. She's got her own practice in Silicon Valley, San Jose, and she really specializes in helping people reach their levels of optimum health and wellness. We're going to be talking to her about some unique systems that she uses, Chinese scalp acupuncture, strain, counter-strain, osteopathic manipulation. We're going to be back with Dr. Julie Chen in just a few minutes. Every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you. What I want to talk about is we've all heard about the dangers of having whole milk products and dairy products and that we should be actually eating skim milk and fat-free products. Well, that might not be totally accurate anymore. There was a long-term study published in the Journal of Nutrition, Metabolism, Cardiovascular Disease. In it, they had 3,630 Costa Rica adults, followed them over a 10-year period, found that their levels of dairy consumption had nothing to do with their risk of a heart attack. And that's even with some of them eating 1 1/3 pounds of cheese, butter, and milk every day. Researchers at Brown University have hypothesized that other nutrients in the dairy products are actually protective against heart disease. Another study that was done in Sweden found that a higher intake of fats, including saturated fats in childhood, resulted in lower body weight, and that children on reduced fat diets had higher body mass and greater insulin resistance. What do we have going on in this country? Well, what we have are obesity and we have diabetes coming on epidemically. And what have we been promoting? Reduced fat diets. Another study of Swedish adults found the consumption of whole fat milk and cheese was actually linked to lower weight gain, and dairy fat was not linked with weight gain in longitudinal studies of adolescents. It looks like we've been going the wrong way. We've been going in a direction of eliminating fats that can actually be healthy for us. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can go to teplitz.com and you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. I do a monthly e-newsletter that has information that's different from what I share with you on Healthy Alternatives. You can subscribe to that by going to the Home About button on teplitz.com and you can sign up for my monthly e-newsletter. In addition, on the homepage on my show Healthy Alternatives, you'll see a button that says Jerry Recommends. Click there for recommendations of other programs, other people that I think you should know about. Every week, I also like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough. new discoveries, latest information about healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, family, and loved ones. And this one comes from Dr. Julian Whitaker, and he's talking about an herb called berberin. Berberin is a plant alkaloid. It's actually revered in traditional Chinese and Ayurvedic medicine. Ayurvedic medicine is from India, but it's also largely ignored everywhere else. Now, some of the research that's out has demonstrated it has a tremendous ability to lower blood sugar, and it works as well as the most popular drug for reducing blood sugar in type 2 diabetes. In clinical studies that were done, that were published in Metabolism, it actually matched and was as effective as the drug. Another study, which was a randomized placebo-controlled study, what they did is they looked at people who had been recently diagnosed with diabetes and also cholesterol, triglyceride, or abnormalities. Over 3 months of taking berberin supplementation, they wound up having blood sugar improvements that were fully compatible with the drug that would have been used instead. Except berberin did something else. It lowered triglycerides by 35%, LDL cholesterols by 21%, and total cholesterol by 18%, and the regular drugs don't do that at all. There's even research showing that berberin has a role in cancer prevention and treatment, because what it does, it inhibits the growth of cancer cells, it induces tumor cell death, it curbs the development of blood vessels that feed the tumors, and it even prevents metastasis. While these research models have been done, and this research has been done on animals, the researchers are saying that it looks very strong for applying to people. The mechanism that's working, it's turning a protein on in the body called AMP, activated protein kinase. And so that's what they think that it's actually doing. In addition, it improves bone density, preserves cartilage. It even protects against acute brain damage and neurodegenerative disorders like dementia and Alzheimer's disease. The recommended doses that Dr. Whitaker talks about is 500 milligrams 2 to 3 times a day. And while it's well tolerated, it may cause constipation, and just reduce your dose down and it'll clear up over some time. To get the product that he is recommending, you'll need to call 800-810-6655. That's 800-810-6655. Before I bring on my guest, Dr. Julie Chen, I'd like to pause for this message.
Every one of us is under stress from work, family, the economy, layoffs, the inability to retire. These are the realities today. Even if you're doing okay, we all have friends and relatives experiencing hard times. Hey, just watching the news can make you nervous. Make no mistake, there's nothing benign about stress. It can lead to high blood pressure, digestive problems, difficulty concentrating, and increased risk of disease. That's why Dr. Jerry Teplitz wrote the book Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. He presents easy, effective techniques to reduce stress, eliminate pain, relieve insomnia, and gain an overall sense of well-being. Managing Your Stress is fully illustrated and provides hands-on, proven methods you can use immediately. Dr. Teplitz knows how to cut to the chase. He begins working with you from the very first page of Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. Click on the cover that you see on the WebTalkRadio.net page in front of you and buy it now. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, and it will change your life.
My guest today is Dr. Julie Tran. She's a medical doctor. She's an integrative medicine physician. She's board certified in internal medicine and also fellowship trained and board certified in integrative medicine. She has her own medical practice in San Jose, California, and she's medical director of corporate wellness at several Silicon Valley-based corporations. She's on several medical expert panels that are on websites as well as on nonprofit organizations. She's a monthly columnist in several national magazines. She's been featured on radio, TV, newspapers, magazine interviews, the whole gambit. And she incorporates many types of healing modalities into her practice, including things like medical acupuncture, Chinese scalp acupuncture, clinical hypnotherapy, strain counter strain osteopathic manipulation, and biofeedback. So, Dr. Julie, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you for having me.
So first thing I need to ask you is, on your list of things in your practice, there are two things that I've never heard of before that I'd like you to, I'm assuming the listeners haven't heard it either. What is Chinese scalp acupuncture?
So it's acupuncture, so it's needlework. And it's interesting because it was actually created by, there's various versions in like Korea versions and Chinese versions. But the version that I trained with is Chinese scalp acupuncture, which actually was created by a neurosurgeon in China. And you place needles in certain areas that are actually correspondent to the neuroanatomy or the anatomy of the brain, because we have certain areas in our brain that control, let's say, movement versus sensation, versus our optical sensation, things like that, balance, you know, et cetera. And so it's actually very interesting in where you stick the needles, because it's in the scalp, so people don't have to worry about it going to the brain because we have our skull that protects us. But it's in the scalp area, and the manipulation of the needles, the hypothesis is that it increases like blood flow, helps with neuronal transmission or synapses, overall neuronal functioning. It's actually great for like motor issues. So people who have motor tics, Parkinson's disease, there's been treatment with like West Nile virus, people who had kind of neuropathic nerve issues, sensation issues, trigeminal neuralgia, which is a nerve pain in the fifth cranial nerve, things like that. So it's very good for a lot of kind of like post-stroke patients, et cetera.
Now, you said it was, it sounds like this was invented much more recently than traditional acupuncture, because you said a neurophysicist, neurosurgeon, somebody like that developed it. So it's much more recent.
Uh-huh. It's much more recent. Yeah, so it's developed by neurosurgeons, but there are various, like needles actually will go in the scalp for traditional acupuncture. It's just the modality of Chinese scalp acupuncture is a little different in the sense that when we do a lot of the needlework, the patterns are different, like where you insert the points, like their mapping is different. So we actually, like in traditional acupuncture, you already have points in the scalp. It's just the mapping of these are a little different than something separate like the scalp acupuncture.
Great.
So the scalp acupuncture is much more with the anatomy of the brain.
Great. And you also do something called strain counter strain osteopathic manipulations. Can you explain what that is?
Sure. So a lot of the patients actually, it just feels like a massage to them, but it's different. The philosophy is different. So strain counter strain is really taking, like, knowing the anatomy and knowing where the insertion points are and shortening the muscle fibers of the muscle by lifting certain like body parts or manipulating certain body parts so that the muscles shorten, like the position they're in is a shortened state. Then you hold it and you get them to relax. And so it's pretty complicated as far as talking about like gamma fibers and how they interlock and then putting them into a relaxed state and how they tend to, you know, relax easier. And then you put them back into a more relaxed state slowly. All of the manipulations in the strain counter strain are slow movements because fast movements tend to, the muscles think like they're being traumatized, but they're not. So the best analogy I like to give to patients is like a rubber band. So like muscles that are really tense, or if you move them like a whiplash, you know, like the quick movements, those muscles tend to tense up and spasm because they think it's trauma. So it's like a rubber band being held really, really tight and long, right? So when you do the strain counter strain and you put them into anatomically relaxed states, it's like letting the tension in the rubber band go lower so that it's more flaccid. And then you hold it for a while. And then the muscles, they don't have brains. They just have like muscle memory. So if you hold it for like 90 seconds or so, they start to feel like, maybe I'm not being traumatized. And then you slowly release them back into a neutral state and they're not so spasmed anymore.
So this is the first therapy where people walk out and they're shorter versus longer.
Yeah, no, they won't be shorter. It's just their muscles will actually be relaxed. Like I have a lot of patients where they're really surprised because, you know, when you go for massages, a lot of times when you have really severe muscle pain, people do deep tissue. People get really sore because you're basically compressing the muscle till the muscle passes out and you release a lot of lactic acid and people get sore from that. This doesn't do that. So people will come out, like I had one patient go, oh my God, this is like the loosest I've ever felt in like forever, but I'm not sore. That's how it should be because there's no compression of the muscles. It's really just putting the muscles into relaxed states and basically retraining them to think, maybe I'm not being traumatized so I can relax.
What got you interested in, as an MD, focusing on the integrative part of medicine?
Well, that's a great question because what ended up happening is my background is internal medicine and I did a fellowship in integrative. And what prompted me to do that was really that when I was doing internal medicine, like primary care medicine, I was frustrated with the inability to treat diseases that are maybe less severe. I think conventional medicine is phenomenal for really acute, severe cases. There's, you know, the ability for us to revive patients when they're at the brink of death is phenomenal with conventional medicine. The problem are when you have patients who come in, and frequently we see that in primary care, people coming in with like vague early on symptoms where they're fatigued, but all their labs are normal, or like they really are having a lot of symptoms like, you know, frequency of urination, but they don't really quite fit the criteria for like full blown diseases of anything, or they just feel off, quote unquote, or they're just not sleeping well. And instead of throwing medications at them, you know, you want to try to fix the root of the problem, or even things that are like vague fatigue, where you can't, there's nothing wrong with their thyroid, everything just looks great, but they're just tired and they just feel off. These patients are much better treated using the alternative complementary options because the things like supplements, minerals, acupuncture, things like that are great at addressing these minor diseases. So what's great about alternative is that you're using medicine like a healing modality of the alternative terms to treat things before it becomes a big issue. So I like to term these like the leaky faucet symptoms, you know, where you're starting to have leaky faucet symptoms, but it hasn't gotten to the point where the sink has overflown, because once the sink has overflown from the leaking, that's when we have grotesque clinical disease that the conventional medicine can treat. And what I find that's best about doing integrative medicine is that you're able to utilize these kind of alternative healing modalities early on, and then you can transition into the conventional if it gets severe. Or if someone's severe, you can actually try to use some of these early on treatments to try to get them back into a less severe state. But meanwhile, you know, if they're severe, they do need the bridging therapies of the conventional medicine treatment. So to me, I'm not an alternative practitioner. I am an integrative physician because I really integrate all healing modalities that are necessary to get optimal health outcome, which includes conventional, which also includes the complementary, because the conventional stuff sometimes is just too big a gun for the early symptom, the leaky faucet symptoms type stuff. And so you're much better off and safer with the alternative options. And so it was born out of a frustration of treating some of my patients that I went into this.
So one of the early quote unquote symptoms that people will get is stress. That then if it's not relieved, starts to build more and more and more and starts to manifest in some of the other illnesses and diseases that you need to go conventional for. Mm-hmm. What are some things from your vantage point you can do daily to manage your stress?
So there's a lot, and that's a great question because a lot of times people don't deal with their stress until it manifests in something more severe. And I caution patients against that because you don't want to wait until it becomes a big problem and then treat it because it's a lot harder at that point. So a lot of times people will wait until they feel flustered. They're not sleeping anymore. They're losing weight. They're eating a lot out of frustration or stress, and they're losing hair, you know, et cetera, or they're getting palpitations. And that's not, you don't want to wait to that level. And so on a day-to-day, I actually recommend for my patients to actively incorporate periods of de-stressing into their day, whether they feel stressed or not, because it builds up over time. So I would say maybe like three times a day or every other hour, or maybe once in the morning, once in the afternoon, and once before bed, et cetera. You incorporate like breathing exercises, journaling or something like that would be good because that's been seen in clinical studies to really help even stress management and anxiety symptoms and insomnia, et cetera, or pain symptoms even, well beyond the time that it took for you to journal that. So and we could talk more about that later if you wanted to, but it's really about trying to express letting the body rest and heal and calm before it reaches that melting point per se. And so the breathing exercises are important. One of the easy ones to do is You can breathe in for like a count of four and exhale for a count of eight. Just doubling your exhalation time compared to your inhalation can be very beneficial. And of course, incorporating, you know, exercise, taking a walk at lunchtime. You don't have to hit the gym to get in exercise. Just some activity allows your body's endorphins to kick in. And really, a lot of times people can incorporate like music into their day when they de-stress, because everybody kind of uses different senses for them to de-stress. Some people are more sense people. Some people are more, you know, hearing people or visuals, you know. So I like to have people incorporate their senses into their de-stressing. So that's really important. But I think the main key point is to not wait until you're stressed. You should just regularly incorporate de-stressing times every single day, a couple times a day, so that you preemptively kind of quench the forest fire before it becomes really large.
As they would say, makes sense to me. So before we continue, I'd like to remind you, you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and we'll be back with my guest, Dr. Julie Chen, in just a moment.
Anyone who has migraines knows that they are almost totally debilitating and hard, if not impossible, to treat. Or should we say they were impossible to treat? Dr. Jerry Teplitz's DVD, Instant Headache and Migraine Relief, delivers on its promise with a 5-minute migraine cure and a 90-second headache treatment. Learn this natural way to get rid of your migraine with the 2,000-year-old Japanese technique of shiatsu, a pressure point method that's simple and immediately effective. The Instant Headache and Migraine Relief DVD also features bonus techniques for treating sore throats, stiff necks, and shoulder pain. No pills, no herbs, no waiting, just relief. Jack Canfield, co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, learned these techniques from Dr. Teplitz and says, these techniques are so practical, so powerful, so simple. They've done it for me and my family. They can do it for you too. Click on the DVD cover on the page in front of you for more information. Instant Headache and Migraine Relief comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. There's no reason to wait. Click on it now.
So my guest today is Dr. Julie Chen. She's an MD. She's an integrative medicine physician who is also board certified in internal medicine. And she's also fellowship trained and board certified in integrative medicine. She has her own medical practice in San Jose, California. She's medical director of Corporation Wellness at several Silicon Valley based organizations. She has a monthly column she does in national magazines. She's been on radio, TV, newspapers, and she incorporates a whole range of healing modalities in her practice. And to learn more about Dr. Julie, you can go to her website, Making Healthy Easy, and easy is just the letter E and the letter Z.com, makinghealthyeasy.com. So Dr. Julie, you were talking a little bit ago about needing to really relax, and how does sleep affect stress?
So, you know, sleep is a time when our body heals and it recovers. And for us to, it's just similar to analogy of driving a car cross country. You need to rest your car during that drive cross country. And that's what sleep is we need to rest our bodies because our bodies are machines. And so sleep, if you don't get enough of it, your ability to kind of handle stress is a lot less. A lot of our hormonal systems in our brain and what's the controlling system of our hormones is a little off if we're not sleeping well. So people, for example, people who don't sleep enough have different levels of these hormones that cause us to overeat or feel satiated or full when we eat, et cetera. So sleep is very important in allowing our body to stay within its checks and balances. And so people who don't sleep very well tend to actually feel a lot more stress and takes less to stress them out. And you don't actually handle the stress as well. So it's very important to get your sleep.
What would you recommend for somebody who is having difficulty sleeping? What kinds of things would you recommend that they do or take?
So first things first is to make sure that you have good sleep hygiene. So I always say if you're really stressed out during the daytime, you're kind of what I call like a high flyer. It's going to take you a little longer to be able to kind of land or get to sleep. So, you know, don't do your work emails up until the moment you go to bed because you're still going to be riled up with that. So you want to start to set like a cutoff time, like maybe an hour before bed, start to not look at emails, not deal with any of that stuff, and start to kind of shut down your body and let it relax. And some of the things, like I said, is very individualized what relaxes you. So it might be music, a hot bath, you know, things like that. Your body temperature, when it rises with a bath and then it drops and cools down after the bath, people tend to sleep a little better. So you want to sleep in an environment that's a little cooler, not too hot. You want to make sure that you don't have like TVs and lights and all that stuff in the room, and you don't want to be watching like the news and drama shows that actually activate you and get you riled up. So you want to really create a calm environment. And so people who really have trouble falling asleep, I say keep the bedroom and the bed sacred only for sleep and sex, and not equate it with being awake and doing activities in there. So don't do your work emails in bed or read in bed per se. You could potentially dim the lights and read out on the sofa. And when you're feeling tired, go to bed and go to sleep. But that's important for just good sleep hygiene. If you're still having issues with insomnia, you definitely want to actually, or if you're waking up tired, but you feel like you're sleeping the whole time, you want to go, of course, and get fully evaluated with your physician, because sometimes things like thyroid disease and stuff like that could be an issue. Also things like, you know, restless leg or obstructive sleep apnea. So getting a sleep study might be important. And people with fibromyalgia have different, certain brain waves that are a little different with sleep. And so a sleep study might be important. But once you've done that whole kind of setting up a good sleep hygiene regimen, and you've gotten the full workup for your, you know, trouble with sleeping, what you want to then also do is there are some supplements that actually you can take for insomnia that tend to help without disrupting your circadian rhythm, like some of the sleep meds might. So things like, I like to sometimes recommend theanine. L-theanine is an amino acid. It's very calming. GABA is also like a anti-anxiety neurotransmitter in our body, helps us sleep as well. Tryptophan, melatonin. And then some people who don't respond well to amino acids or neurotransmitters, they actually might respond well to some herbs like valerian root, passion flower, hops, etc. So some of these are good ones to think about, but I would always, you know, caution that you let your physician know, because just because supplements are natural doesn't mean they're without harm. So you want to clear all your supplements with your physicians and make sure that you're not taking them with your medications, because they can alter the effectiveness of medications, and vice versa with the medications and the herbs. So take them separate and clear the supplements by your physicians first before you ever take them.
So really people have a whole range of things that they can actually look at doing when they're having difficulty sleeping.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Great. Now, what about the stress that's at work? Is there anything besides taking some deep breaths you can do at work to get yourself de-stressed?
You know, I like to actually, within my clinic, I work a lot with patients with self-hypnosis. So a lot of times patients think that they have to do hypnosis with other people, but you can actually do a few sessions with a specialist, and then you can learn the techniques to do at home. There's such a thing as self-hypnosis or guided imagery. And what you would do is literally put on calming music and hence scent or things like that to get you kind of more relaxed. You can actually do imagery where your body naturally starts to respond to it, to that relaxed state. So what's interesting about hypnosis, it's almost like, you know, where your body gets so acclimated to being hearing a certain music or a certain image in your mind, et cetera, and your body naturally links that image or sound or et cetera state to your body naturally getting relaxed. And some people who are very good at doing hypnosis for a while, like they've been doing it for a long time and they've been doing their own self-hypnosis, they get to a point where they can immediately think about the image and their body naturally just calms. It's linking your body's physiology to a mental image, because your mind does control a lot of our body's physiology or body functioning. And if you can imagine, like, you know, sometimes when we're anxious, we don't have to be in that environment. We just have to think of that environment and our heart rate goes up and we feel anxious and we feel distressed. It's not like you're actually in that environment. It's just the mental image of that. Well, we want to do the reverse of it with self-hypnosis, is that you get used to imagining a certain environment and your body naturally feels good with that imagery. And when you practice enough to get to the point of doing that, then you're actually able to get that level of calmness and peacefulness and happiness way quicker, because as soon as you link it with that image, your body actually calms.
There's a friend of mine, Dr. Stephen Halpern, who's a musician who makes
he's kind of considered the father of New Age music. And one of his pieces, Connections, I've had a number of women when they've been pregnant started playing it in the third trimester since sound gets into the womb then. They played it at the birth, and the birth was very, very easy. And then after the baby was born, whenever the baby would get agitated, they play it and the baby would immediately calm down. So you're saying adults can have that same kind of thing happen for them as well.
Great. And it's really about training your body's physiology. Just like you were, I liken, when I try to explain hypnotherapy to people, I sometimes liken it to like marathon training. Do you know what I mean? So you're kind of training your mind and body to work together, just like you couldn't immediately go and run like, you know, 20 miles on in a long marathon. You have to get to that point where your body immediately will feel relaxed. So don't be frustrated when early on you're like, well, I'm thinking about the imagery. Why am I not totally relaxed yet? You know, you have to get the mind and body to connect in that way.
Now, since you mentioned marathons and stuff like that, are there specific types of exercises that can help you deal with stress more than some others?
So that's a great question. Also, the a lot of times I think of exercises being individualized. So some people, you know, I don't want anybody to do any exercise that when they think about it, it stresses them out. It's counterproductive. So a lot of times, you know, stress, when it builds up, for some people, just taking a simple walk for 10 minutes really calms them. And some people, they actually like the yoga and the Pilates. But some people who do yoga and Pilates find that it actually stresses them out more because it's not active enough. So they actually like things like kickboxing or running, you know, something more proactive and higher level of energy. So I find that the exercise is specific for the type of person that you are. So if you're someone who, let's say when you sit and you meditate and you really get uncomfortable, you're almost more antsy when you do that, something like a walking meditation might actually be more beneficial to that person. So I have patients who love to actually run on a track instead of outdoors because the rhythmic part of being around the same track over and over is actually meditative for them, versus some people like to run out in nature. Studies show that a lot of people being out in nature alone calms their anxiety symptoms. And they've done that a little bit with in studies with ADHD, which is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder people. And being out in nature itself frequently helps them with that.
Now, you have put together a supplement that can help stop colds. Can you tell us about it?
Well, the supplement is actually in a combination of ingredients that are seen to be helpful to have some antiviral, antibacterial activity per se. But what it's meant to do is to help to kind of support the immune system. So it doesn't necessarily stop the cold per se, but for a lot of my patients, they describe it as that. But it's really meant to support the immune system, which is why the supplement is called Making Healthy Easy Immunity, because it's meant to support the immune system. And so I actually created that supplement because I needed to create something for my autoimmune patients who are on a lot of medications that suppress their immune function. So they were getting sick. And when they get sick, they get really sick. And so I had to create a combination. I put in a lot of ingredients that aren't out in the other cold supplements out there. These have a lot more herbs and stuff like that in there at the clinical kind of dosages. And so I use that in my patients, and they work extremely well in these patients because they have to, because otherwise when these patients get sick, they get really sick. So, you know, it's something that I found to be useful in my patients. And the reason I actually created that supplement is because if they had to go out and buy the individual ingredients, they ended up buying like 5-6 bottles. So this way it's just easier for them to get it in that one packet.
And if people do want to get this, they can go onto your website, makinghealthyeasy.com. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's making healthy and the two letters easy.com. We do have the ingredients on there, and it's actually sold in the pharmacy in my clinic building because a lot of my patients utilize it.
Do you need a prescription for it?
No, it's just an over-the-counter supplement.
Great. So, Dr. Julie, thanks for being a guest today on Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
My guest next week is Paul Owens. He is the original dog whisperer. He wrote the bestseller, The Dog Whisperer, a compassionate, nonviolent approach to dog training. It sold over 300,000 copies all over the world. He's written The Puppy Whisperer, The Dog Whisperer Presents Good Habits for Great Dogs. He's also produced and featured on the Dog Whisperer DVDs. He's an expert on behavior modification of aggressive dogs, and he teaches through a non-violent animal training program that he's developed since 1972. You're going to learn some fascinating things about how you can work with pets in a way that is nonviolent, because Paul views the link between the dog and human behavior as a way of actually building peace in our world. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. You can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.